The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. Okay, sorry. How many times have I done this now? I should somehow find a way. But thank you for those of you who are sending something to me. I got a text message. I thought, okay, there's only one reason why somebody would send me a text right now. So, okay, my apologies. Okay. So I'd like to, in this part of the Dharma talk, I'd like to build on something that I talked about in the guided meditation, and that is this idea of simplicity. The importance of simplicity. I think many of us know this, that there's often a little bit more ease when things are simple. And of course, one of the Buddha's key teachings is a very simple one and a very straightforward one. And that is that there are causes, there are conditions that give rise to our contentment or our suffering. There are reasons why we are feeling some ease or some freedom, and there's reasons why we might not be feeling that, why we might have non-ease, non-freedom, non-contentment. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But I'd like to point out that some of the conditions that support contentment is itself just simplicity. Keeping things simple, not complicated. That simplicity supports a greater sense of ease and contentment, and I'm assuming that this might be obvious for some of you. There's a little bit more restfulness or ease when we're not multitasking, trying to do 3-4 things at once, and we're just kind of in a relaxed manner doing one thing. There can be a little bit more of a sense of ease when our surroundings have some organization or some not so much chaos in them. May I say that? I don't want to give the impression that things have to be perfectly neat and tidy all the time, but it often can be a sense of ease to walk into a place like, oh yeah, okay, there's space here. Some organizational scheme. I recently had to just move, and I'm discovering this, you know, now that I'm rethinking, like, where my objects that I own, where they go, like, why do I even own so many? And maybe I don't need so many, and because it's kind of nice that I still have these boxes that are filled with things. Maybe I don't need to unpack them. Maybe they can find another home. So in some ways, I think many of us have this experience to keep our surroundings with not too much clutter or disorganization. And it can bring a certain amount of ease. As well as noticing that just checking in with the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body right now. That's just a very simple movement. It's just a very simple experience, sensation. Maybe can we like tune into and feel, what does it feel like? What does that simplicity of that experience of feeling the pressure of the chair or the cushion or maybe hearing my voice? What is that experience like of just maybe having this singular object of attention as best you can? And so this feeling can be a reference point for us, can be a reference point in our daily life. Like just knowing that it can be simple, that we can just be present for this present moment experience, is a way in which we can recognize or have an experiential understanding of what it's like when we are not simple, when we are not present. The contrast of really being busy and complicated versus the experience of just simply knowing this experience right now. So one of the ways in which to kind of keep this things in a straightforward way, an uncomplicated way, is just as I was pointing to, is mindfulness of the body. Of course, the body is always with us. It's obvious, it's tangible, and we can easily come back to it. When we're maybe lost in the machinations of the mind, for example, we can just come back to maybe the feeling of our feet on the ground when we are getting lost in some conversation and feeling this pressure to speak and whatever it might be. But also in one part of mindfulness of the body that can help us to keep things simple and not too complicated is to be mindful also of movement. That is, in our daily life, just walking. That I'm exploring and practicing with, as I said, I had moved into this new place, and so I had said, okay, so when I walk from this part to that part, I'm going to just have this be my mindfulness practice. Of course, I'm not mindful 100% of the time when I do walk from one area to the next. But I'm noticing that it's really helpful just to have this as an intention and an anchor. And many times a day, right, I'm walking in this particular area and I'm not slowing down. I'm not stopping what I'm doing. I'm not forgetting why I'm going to the other room. But just this intention of, okay, just recognizing the feeling of movement, moving the body through space, feeling the feet on the ground, feeling the movement of the clothing against the body, whatever it might be. That this is such a great way to kind of like get grounded, to get to simplify things, and to get connected to the present moment. Maybe it's in addition to some other formal practice you might be doing, or maybe even if you don't have a formal sit-on-the-cushion meditation practice, this is one way in which it can really be a great support, not only for your meditation practice, but just for your daily life, to interrupt some of these long chains of discursive thinking we might get lost in. So it's not hard to do this mindfulness of the movement. Walking is an obvious one. You might choose a different movement. The difficult part, if I want to use this word difficult, of course, is just to remember to do it. But we might just practice in a relaxed, easy way. And the more we practice, the more it becomes like the default setting of our mind as we move about the day. To just bring our awareness to the sensations in the body. And this can be a tremendous support, especially these days when there's often a lot of disturbing news. It can lead to agitation. We can use this being connected to the body as a way to kind of simplify our experience and like, oh, I'm just here having this experience right now. Not that we have to push aside or repress or stop thinking, but just to interrupt some of the compulsive flavor that might get stuck in our thinking, going around and around. So that's one thing that we can do to kind of keep things simple, is to have a practice of having a connection with our body, our bodily experience. And then I offered walking, and just to having a particular place where we might walk is a place to support that. But that's only one. I'm sure you have some ideas of ways to kind of support some keeping things straightforward, a little bit uncomplicated. Maybe not too busy or not too much multitasking, whatever it might be. And then, as I mentioned in the guided meditation, something that also can be a support for simplicity, which is a tremendous support for our practice, is to notice when it's not simple. What does the other end of the spectrum feel like? What is that experience? And gain some familiarity with that. Understand it, understand some of the conditions that support it. And just get to know, what does it feel like when everything's complicated or like confused and lots of things going around in my mind, or I don't know what to do next, or completely lost in this this compulsion of thinking and not being able to recognize that we are lost. So it can be helpful to notice when there feels like there's these complications or these elaborations or this expansion of our thinking into these abstract stories and thoughts. Because, of course, there's ordinary thinking that's an ordinary part of life, and we need that. It's an integral way of how we find our way through our daily life. But then there's also when it spins out into stories and we start to lose touch with this actual moment, lose touch with reality in some kind of way. And the Buddhists have a word for this. Some of you might know this word. It's called papancha. I just love the sound of this word, papancha. Maybe with the P sounds, it has a little like pop sound, and it's the like pop, 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 kind of is the feeling, like maybe one thought goes here and another thought goes there, and then pop, there goes another thought. Papancha. So part of meditation practice is to learn how not to get lost in this papancha, how to interrupt or disrupt or the getting lost in all these stories that we might be doing that really support a sense of being disconnected from what's actually happening. And of course, one way to do that is, as I said, is to kind of have an awareness of what is the felt sense of what it's like when we're lost in thought. For some people, there might be a feeling of, the energy is up in the head somehow. Like there's a control tower up here, and we are somehow using that to view and experience the world. So again, it's not that we have to demonize thinking. It's just to recognize, when is our thinking no longer the simple ways in which we're solving problems or being creative or communicating with others? Instead, it has kind of spun out into stories that are fanciful or disconnected in some kind of way. So this idea of keeping things simple and using mindfulness of the body as a way to be a support for that, and recognizing when there's papancha, this proliferation of thought, and to encourage some investigation the Buddhist teachings might be, some of them might be simple and straightforward, but they're not beliefs that we have to adopt and turn into some credo. Instead, there's the invitation to investigate them. Is this true in my experience? Is this true? The way that I understand this, is this in accordance with my experience? So I'd like to read a poem that kind of brings these elements together in a different way, using different types of language and from a different approach. But sometimes there's a way in which poetry can speak to a different part of our understanding, maybe a different part of our being in some kind of way. So this poem is by David White, who's he's a living poet. He was a Zen practitioner, so he has some meditation practice in his experience, but he's not writing from the perspective of a Zen practitioner. And this poem is called Sometimes. And it goes like this. Sometimes, if you move carefully through the forest, breathing like the ones in the old stories, who could cross a shimmering bed of leaves without a sound? I'll read that stanza again. Sometimes, if you move carefully through the forest, breathing like the ones in the old stories, who could cross a shimmering bed of leaves without a sound, you come to a place whose only task is to trouble you with tiny but frightening requests, conceived out of nowhere, but in this place beginning to lead everywhere. Request to stop what you are doing right now and to stop what you are becoming while you do it. Questions that can make or unmake a life. Questions that have patiently waited for you. Questions that have no right to go away. I think this poem is quite beautiful. And he's pointing to that when we kind of simplify, when we get quiet, we move in a simplified way, like if you were going to go across leaves and you don't want to make a sound. You're breathing like the other ones from the old stories. We could imagine that he's pointing to some of the Buddhist teachings. And then you come to a place whose only task is to trouble you with tiny but frightening requests, conceived out of nowhere, but in this place beginning to lead everywhere. So we might understand this idea of requests of a way of investigating. What is happening here? What's going on? And the questions and requests to stop what we're doing, to stop the becoming that we're doing, in such a way that sometimes a lot of the complications that we introduce into our experience are just a way to bolster or protect or augment a sense of self. But instead, these requests to stop what you are doing right now and to stop what you are becoming while you do it. And then David White ends this poem with saying, questions that can make or unmake a life. questions that have patiently waited for you, questions that have no right to go away. So we might imagine that a question could be, is this leading to suffering or is this leading to freedom? Either what I is just the stopping that I've just done, is this leading to more contentment and ease and spaciousness, or is it leading to stress and complication? Or maybe the question could be more about the bigger scope of what we were doing before we stopped. Was that leading to greater freedom? Was it leading to suffering? David White, in when he discusses this poem, he talks about to stop what you're doing so that you can drink from a deeper well. To drink from a deeper well, maybe to have some understanding that's comes from a deeper place. And David White, he also says that the invitation with this poem is the understanding that almost always we are tiptoeing into the next moment, which we don't fully understand, yet we think we understand it. And he says that what is going to occur is unannounced, and how we will show up is unannounced. So often we're like tumbling into the next moment, thinking that we know exactly what it's going to be, but we don't really. We know what's likely to happen, but we don't always know exactly what the next moment's going to be. So can we just simply be with this moment, as opposed to having all these complicated, elaborate ideas about how things should be, or could be, or used to be. So maybe I'll close with reading this poem one more time. Sometimes, if you move carefully through the forest, breathing like the ones in the old stories, who could cross a shimmering bed of leaves without a sound? You come to a place whose only task is to trouble you with tiny but frightening requests. Conceived out of nowhere, but in this place, beginning to lead everywhere. Requests to stop what you are doing right now, and to stop what you are becoming while you do it. Questions that can make or unmake a life. Questions that have patiently waited for you. Questions that have no right to go away. The more that we ask these questions that are important, the more that we're kind of tune into what's important, allows us to show up for whatever's arriving and arising in our experience. And in that way, we can find our way through all these difficulties that we might be experiencing and enable us to support others, help others. So sometimes, this poem by David White, sometimes you can be reminded to keep things simple. Thank you.